Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
You guys can be seated. Thank you so much to Miss Amma and all of our kids who have led us in worship this morning. They are incredible gifts to the body of Christ. Kids are not just the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. Because Jesus is going to say this morning in Luke 18, to such kids belongs the kingdom of heaven. Billy Graham is one of my heroes. Many of you might say the same. I got to hear him preach in Louisville in 2001, and Billy told this story about an early time in his career when he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon. And he was looking to mail a letter, and he couldn't find the mailbox. So he found a young man and asked him how to get to the mailbox or to the post office, and the young man showed him. And when the boy told him how to get to the post office, Reverend Graham thanked the little boy, and he said, "Young man, tonight, if you'll come to the local Baptist church, I'll tell everybody how you can get to heaven." The little boy replied, "No thanks, preacher. You don't even know your way to the post office." Out of the mouths of babes. One of life's great questions is, who are the kinds of people that go to heaven? If you want to know the kind of people that go to heaven, Jesus says you don't go to the seminary, the monastery, or a gathering of religious elites. If you want to know the kind of people that go to heaven, go to the nursery. Go to your local preschool. Go to the playground at Smothers Park this afternoon. If you want to know the kind of people that go to heaven, go where the kids are. Because Jesus said, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 15, the passage Amma just read for us, we're in week 4 of our sermon series, Encounters with Jesus. And today, Jesus encounters kids. And in verse 15, they were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. Earlier this year, I took the boys to a UK game, and we stayed after the game forever just so the kids could meet Oscar, and I think you're going to see a picture and get Oscar's autograph and all that good stuff. You know, parents, we'll do that kind of thing, won't we? We'll spend the extra money to get the kids backstage passes to meet their favorite musician. We'll stay around a UK game forever to get to meet the players. We'll take them to the best coaches or mentors. Parents, we'll do whatever we got to do to get our kids around greatness, won't we? It's important to us. Well, imagine 2,000 years ago, parents, grandparents, and you hear Jesus is going to be at Beef O'Brady's. We're all going to Beef O'Brady's after church today, and we'll stand in line for hours so that our kids could meet Jesus. Well, put yourself in that scenario, and that's where we are today in Luke chapter 18. Jesus is in town, and the parents and the grandparents and the preschool teachers and the kindergarten teachers, they're all getting all the kids together to go meet Jesus so he can touch them or pray for them or bless them. So that happens in the first part of verse 15. All the kids are coming to Jesus, but then look what happens in the second part of verse 15. When the disciples saw it, that is, when the disciples saw all the kids coming to Jesus, they rebuked them. In most ancient cultures, children were viewed more of a burden than a blessing. So the ancients thought that until kids were old enough and strong enough to work and contribute to the family, that they really had little or no value. So when all these people are bringing these little babies and kids to Jesus, the disciples are like, "Jesus, you ain't got time for these little snotty-nosed kids. Jesus, there are very important people in town that want to meet you." the bigwigs, the power players, the political mover and shakers, the affluent, Jesus, you got to hang out with the elites. Jesus, we got these big social gatherings for you to attend. Jesus, you don't have time for these little kids. Plus, they're probably contagious. Look at them sneezing. You're going to catch something. So Peter, James, and John are scolding the parents for bringing their kids to Jesus, but then Jesus interrupts the conversation. In verse 16, but Jesus called them, that's the kids, to him. Verse 16, and he said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Now, Mark, three of the gospel writers, what we call the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all tell the same story. Mark adds this detail in chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus took the kids in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. That's why we sing the song, Jesus loves the little children of the world, all the children of the world. But then Mark also adds this detail in verse 14. Look at this. When Jesus saw what was happening, that is, when Jesus saw, Mark chapter 10, verse 14, when he saw that the disciples were trying to keep the kids away from coming to him, he was angry with his disciples. Now, you don't see Jesus get angry very often. There's a time he turned over tables in the temple. There's a few other accounts, but Jesus rarely gets upset, but he's upset here. What angers Jesus is when we try to keep kids from coming to him. Whereas if we want to upset Jesus, then just treat kids like they're a burden or a nuisance. If we want to upset Jesus, we bully other kids. If we want to upset Jesus, we make fun of kids that have special needs. If we want to upset Jesus, we abuse or neglect children. Parents, if we want to upset Jesus, we yell and scream at our kids. And specifically in Luke 18, what angers Jesus is keeping kids from coming to him. In Pleasant Valley, if you've been around for several months, you know that's why we believe God has led us on a 2-year spirit-led initiative called Next, which a huge part of that is to invest in the next generation. Because I want to be very clear here as a pastor, it is not okay with Jesus for us to have to turn kids away every Sunday back there because we don't have room for them. That is not okay with Jesus. He said, let the little children come to me. So thank you for your generosity in helping us create space for the children for whom Jesus shed his blood. This is not just a ministry initiative. This is the heart of Jesus. He loves kids. He loves them. And he says, bring them to me. In Luke 18, he's angered when the kids can't come to him. Now, can I step in a landmine right here? If we want to upset Jesus, we teach our children, parents, grandparents, caregivers, speaking to myself as well. If we want to upset Jesus, we teach our children that their academics, their extracurricular activities, their looks, their popularity, their sporting events, that those things are more important than Jesus and going to church to worship Jesus. Parents and grandparents, nothing is more important than getting our kids to Jesus. Hey, who cares if our kids go to the best college if they don't go to heaven? Who cares if our kids know all the popular kids at school if they don't know Jesus? Who cares if our kids have a boyfriend or a girlfriend if they don't have a relationship with Jesus? Who cares if our kids graduate and make big bucks if they don't make it to heaven? Parents, grandparents, where are our priorities? Reality and priority check here. There is a 0.00075% chance that any of our kids will become a professional athlete. There's a 0.0086 chance that any of our kids will become a famous celebrity. There's a 100% chance that all of our kids will one day stand before Jesus. Parents, grandparents, where are our priorities? If we don't teach our kids to love the church, we're not teaching them to love Christ, because the church is the bride of Christ. And if we want to upset Jesus, we allow our kids to put any idol. It could be academics, it could be athletics, it could be popularity. Any idol in front of getting them to Jesus. And that's why in today's text, Jesus, in one of the few times in Scripture, is upset when the disciples prevent them from coming to him. But now look at what he does next. Back to verse 16. But Jesus called the kids to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them." Now look at this phrase I want us to spend a little bit of time in. "For to such," as to the kids, "belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Now, basically, Jesus says this. Essentially, if you want to go to heaven, be like a kid. Let's just read the text like it reads. If you want to go to heaven, be like a kid. What in the world does that mean? Well, anytime we're studying the Bible, we want to look at the context. One of my seminary profs used to say, context is king. So if you're not sure what a Bible passage means, you want to look at the context, the surrounding verses before, after the larger narrative in that passage. So to understand what Jesus means when he says, be like a kid if you want to go to heaven, back up just a few verses to the immediately preceding passage, and you get a huge clue. Okay, so look at Luke 18, verse 9, and we get a sneak peek into what it means to be like a kid and therefore to go to heaven. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and that's the first big clue. The idea is going to be, if we trust in ourselves that we are righteous and can therefore go to heaven, we won't go to heaven. That's what he's getting at. Now watch this. So Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Jesus gave this illustration. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee. Now that just means the stereotypical kind of self-righteous religious person. Those were the Pharisees. And the other person that went up to the temple was the tax collector. They were the stereotypical sinners. They were lumped together with prostitutes and people like that, okay? The Pharisee in verse 11, standing by himself, this is the religious good person, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. God, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." So you've got a guy that thinks he's something special. He thinks he's righteous. Verse 13, but the tax collector, the sinner, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then Jesus said, now here's the point I tell you. This man, that's the man that knew he was a sinner, he went to his house justified. That means saved. Rather than the other. For everyone who exalts or lifts himself up will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now here's Jesus' point. This is very simple. Look at what he's teaching here. The people who go to heaven are the people who know they don't deserve to go to heaven. The people who go to heaven are the people who know they have no righteousness or goodness in and of themselves. The people who go to heaven are the ones who know they can't earn it or be good enough to go to heaven. The people who go to heaven are the ones who realize our only hope is in Jesus and Jesus dying for our sins. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. And we are as totally dependent upon Christ to save us as a little newborn is dependent on his or her mom to feed him. If you want to go to heaven, you got to be like a kid that's totally desperate and dependent upon Christ and Christ alone. That's the point of verse 9 through 14. Then to illustrate that theological truth, all these kids start flocking to Jesus. And Jesus makes this point. Jesus says, you see all these snotty-nosed kids and babies? These are the kind of people that will go to heaven. Because no one better illustrates that we can't do anything to earn our salvation than a baby. I mean, who has done fewer good deeds than a baby? Who has given less money to charity than a six-month-old? Who has obeyed fewer of the Ten Commandments than a one-year-old? So a little baby, a small child, is the perfect illustration that God saves those who cannot save themselves. To go to heaven, we got to be like little helpless kids who say, I can't earn it. I'm not righteous. I'm not good enough. Jesus, if you don't save me, I won't be saved. That is the path to heaven, the path of a helpless child. So that's the theological truth in this text, the first one. But now go back to verse 16, and here's the second truth Jesus has for us. He says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Now, I just want us to read this text at face value. Jesus says very matter-of-factly, he's literally holding children in his arms, placing his hands upon them. I imagine he's hugging them. He's praying blessings on them, upon them. Maybe he's throwing a frisbee with them. I mean, clearly Jesus was fun or the kids wouldn't have flocked to him. I mean, kids like fun people. Jesus is inviting the kids in. He's playing with them. He's loving them. He's hugging them. And he looks at them and he says, the kingdom of God belongs to these kids. Now just let that settle in. Notice Jesus gives no qualifications or exceptions here. Notice Jesus doesn't say anything about the parents' faith. He doesn't say, well, if their parents are believers, then they're a part of the kingdom. Notice Jesus doesn't say anything about the child being circumcised so that they were covenant children. So for example, we love our Presbyterian friends. Some of my close friends are Presbyterians, for example. But if Jesus ever wanted to teach covenantal inclusion in the kingdom, this would have been the place to put it. We love our Anglican, our Lutheran, our Catholic friends. But Jesus says nothing about sprinkling or baptism to seal a child's place in the kingdom. He says nothing about that. If that were true, this would have been the place to put it. Jesus is unqualified. He is plain. He is clear. The kingdom of God belongs to babies and children, period. Do you ever imagine what heaven will be like? There are certain things we'll know we'll see in heaven, like fried chicken, corn nuggets, bluegrass music, Derby pie, and Ford trucks. We know Chevys ain't getting in. But who are the kinds of people we'll see in heaven? Who are the kinds of people we'll see in heaven? Jesus says lots and lots of kids. When given the opportunity to characterize the kingdom of heaven, he precisely uses kids and babies as illustrations. So I'm blessed to have three older, awesome, beautiful sisters. They all live back in Katy's where we grew up. I'm so thankful for them. But you know, growing up as the only boy, the baby boy, I often dreamt about how cool it would be to have an older brother. You know, an older brother that I could play ball with and fist fight and wrestle and climb trees and all the things the boys do, all the things that brothers do together. But, you know, it actually struck me the other day, maybe I do have an older brother. And I'll get to see him one day. Because my mom was due to give birth to her second child on Mother's Day of 1972. But that day never came. His mom lost this little one to a miscarriage. And we don't know if it was a brother or a sister. But one day in heaven, I'll shoot ball with them. I believe that. And one day in heaven, my mom and dad will get to hug the child that they never got to meet. As will many of you in this room. Many of you have lost little ones to miscarriage, or children have died in infancy, or maybe a brother or sister that had special needs. Jesus said, to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And I believe the great 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon was right when he suggests the majority population in heaven will probably be babies and children. In fact, if we'll listen closely, church, if we'll just listen, maybe even now we'll hear the voices of the largest children's choir in the world in heaven singing praises to King Jesus. After all, it was Jesus who said in Matthew 21, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. And some of you in this room have children in that choir in heaven. And I believe with all my heart, you'll see them again one day. Why? It's because the Bible teaches that until children reach the point where they can stand personally accountable before God for the sins they consciously commit in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10, and they have the cognitive ability to understand their sin and who God is, until that time, they are under, the Bible teaches, a special, gracious, divine protection from God. I don't have time to fully unpack that. I would love to. I believe that with all of my heart. But I've written a theological white paper defending that position. And if you're interested in reading that, we're going to email it out this week in our church newsletter that comes out every Thursday. If you don't get that newsletter, you can scan the barcode up there. Right now, you can do that, and we'll email that out this week if you want to dig deeper into that. The babies go to heaven, and we'll make the case for that. You know, for many of us, the first song we probably learned was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And to all of our kids that are here this morning and to many who are in the back, kids, Jesus loves you so much. Kids, when you're afraid to go to sleep at night, Jesus loves you and he's with you. Kids, when the bullies make fun of you at school, Jesus loves you and he's with you. Kids, when mom and dad are fighting and you're afraid, Jesus loves you and he's with you. Kids, when you're afraid to die and you wonder if you'll go to heaven when you die, Jesus says, kids, if you'll turn away from your sins and believe in me and ask me to forgive you of your sins, you don't have to be afraid to die. I'll bring you to heaven with me. Kids, there are many of you in this room, and you're old enough to understand the things that the Bible is teaching today. Kids, some of you are old enough to understand that you've sinned against God. You've lied to your parents. You've been disobedient. You were mean to your brother or sister, and you've sinned against God. And kids, you realize that, and you need a Savior. You need forgiveness. You need Jesus, who died on the cross for you. You need him. And Jesus would love to come into your life today. And I know that because he says so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. In Luke 18, verse 16, Jesus said, let the children come to me. Every child under the sound of my voice, if you're able to understand what I'm saying right now, Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. Believe in me. So let's do this. Let's have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. I want to ask our ministry team, if you would go to your places at this time. So if you're here this morning at any age, not just a child, But if you would like to receive prayer today, we do this every Sunday now. If you would like prayer for wisdom and parenting or maybe issues with a child or a grandchild, if you would like prayer for something in your personal life, if you would like prayer for anxiety or a physical illness or prayer for anything, we have a team of men and women. Some of them are going to be standing down here to my left, your right. Some down here to my right, your left. And then at our back doors as well. And you'll see someone wearing navy lanyards that will say, how can I pray for you? And just starting right now and all through this final song, you can slide out of your seat and go to them and they would love to pray for you. Okay, so you can go ahead and begin doing that if you would like to receive prayer. But while we're doing that, I want to take a moment and speak just directly to kids. Okay, so kids, if you're still in the room, I want you to really listen for a moment today, okay? Kids, if any of you today would like to ask Jesus to save you, if you want Jesus to come into your life, we want to give you that opportunity. It's the most important thing in your life, kids. It's more important than what grades you get. It's more important than if you make the ball team, it's more important than what kind of clothes you wear. Kids, the most important thing is that you obey Jesus. And he said, believe in me, come to me, turn away from your sins. And so kids, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. But kids, if you would like today to give your life to Jesus, would you just raise your hand up so I could pray for you in just a moment? Kids, would you just raise your hand up if today you would like to give your life to Jesus? And parents of those kids, if you would, pay attention and see if your child may be responding at this time. And parents, be prepared to have that conversation with your child. And also, parents, you're going to see another barcode on the screen up here at this time. Parents, if your child would like to meet with one of our church leaders to talk about salvation, just scan that barcode. And we'll set up an appointment for myself or one of our team to sit down and talk with your child about following Jesus and knowing Jesus. You know, now for our parents and grandparents in the room, how many of us, okay, everybody pay attention, how many of us have children or grandchildren that are not yet saved? Let's go before the Lord now in prayer, pleading for their salvation. You can pray down here at the front. You could go to one of our ministry team members and they'd be happy to pray with you. Maybe you want to pray for future children, future grandchildren. Let's, hundreds of us at this time, let's go to God in prayer, pleading for the salvation of our children. Maybe those adult children that have drifted far from God. Parents, don't give up. Grandparents, don't give up. Let's go before the Lord. Some of us need to get on our knees before God and cry out for mercy that God would save. Now, for those children that raised your hands, kids, I'm just going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for you and ask the Lord to reveal himself to you. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. Father God, we pray, Lord, that for each child in this room, Lord, they maybe this morning for the first time, you've showed them they're a sinner. Lord, they've disobeyed you. God, they have sinned against you. Lord, they have lied. They've stolen. Lord, they've done unkind things to their brother or sister. Lord, they cheated on a test. God, and they're sinners and they need Jesus. God, I pray that right now you would show them your deep love for them. Father, show them that Christ has died for their sins and that, Lord, your salvation is a free gift. If they'll just confess to you, God, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness, Lord, you'll save them. So, Lord, right now, would you help these children to believe? And children, I just ask you right now, wherever you are, you can just pray out to Jesus and ask him to save you. Kids, right where you are, call up on the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I want your forgiveness. I believe in you, Jesus. Let's just take another moment. Others, if you need prayer, I'm going to be standing down here at the front center. I would love to pray for you. Again, we have ministry team in the front and back here wearing lanyards. It would be our joy to pray for you this morning. So let's take a few more moments in prayer, and then we're going to continue our service by singing.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.